And it's our a privilege to have Pastor Duval Esterhuizen from Malmesbury and his lovely wife Danelle with us this morning. And I shared with the leaders on Saturday, past Saturday, that when Jolene and I got asked to come pastor here, we obviously hadn't, we'd looked after a lot of people, but we hadn't formally looked after a church by ourselves. And so we did what we thought was wise, and we went to go speak to a couple of couples, some pastoral couples in the shofar movement that we believe are getting it right, that are getting it right to look after people, that there's fruit on their ministry. And Duval and Danelle were one of those couples, and it's just been amazing to follow their journey in the town of Malmesbury, how they came in there. And let the paar moeilike jare ook gehad, né? They let the paar sakke sout opgeëet daar in Malmesbury. It was just amazing to see how they stuck it out, and how they contended with their right to be in the town and to take spiritual authority and to say, we belong in this town, and we will not get taken out. We will not step away from what God has called us to do in our town. And hoe lank is julle nou daar? 8 jaar. And the fruit on their ministry at the moment is incredible. They're really one of our success stories as a church. They growing out of, or running out of space constantly, and got such favor in town, renting bigger spaces. Their venue looks amazing. Their kids' church is booming. And God's favor is just clearly so evidently on Duval and Danelle. And so it's a privilege for us to receive them this morning. Duval, we've known Duval for a long time, and Duval is, he's right there behind Anton in terms of his hardcoreness. He's just got a better sense of humor. So so Duval, Danelle, welcome here. It's amazing to have you this morning. Let's give them a hand.
Hallelujah. Thanks, Richard. You know, Danelle and I were just worshiping here, and Richard, I want to honor you guys too, you and Jolene, and just your heart for worship and your humility. That is really great. So thank you so much for leading us into worship. We do a lot of things right, yes, a lot of other things wrong, but what you guys get right is that you really usher people into the presence of the Lord amazingly. So you guys are really blessed to have them. I know that they've only been here short, but they're really awesome people of God, and we really love them, and we love you, and well done for what you guys are doing here. It's really, really blessed to enter into this place, and it's open. You can worship here. The Lord is in this place, and that's amazing. You know, whenever I go to other churches, and I experience what I experience here, then I know that, you know, God is pleased, and He's pleased with you, and you are doing well. And I want to commend you and say well done for following God wholeheartedly, even through a lot of changes and stuff. I know that Shofar France will go through a lot of changes in that. Amen. The older brothers in the house. But now, I think, you know, God has really blessed you in this time that comes. So, you know, all our love from Malmesbury. It's been a great journey to go to Malmesbury. And thank you for the words this morning that you guys brought. It just, you know, affirmed in my heart. I knew what God wanted me to share, but it was just great. It's always great when God, you know, kind of preaches the sermon before the time. Then you know, you are hearing the Lord correctly. So that is great. But when we went to Malmesbury, Danelle and I, you know, it was now this past, you know, your Facebook reminds you, you know, of your life constantly. So Facebook reminded us this week that it was six years ago, this past 4 weeks or whatever, that after we moved to Malmesbury, that our eldest son almost died. Okay, he was like in ICU for seven days when he got this rare sickness and a lot of other stuff. I'm not going to go into the detail about that. But God called us to go to Malmesbury, and he said, you know, one of those great scriptures, Psalm 144 verse 1, which says, I will train your hands for war. And they were like, yes, Jesus, let's do this. Let's train our hands for war. You know, and then, yes, after the ICU, my wife almost died. Our second son almost died. And then I said, okay, Jesus, you need to train my hands for war, please. We are in the war zone. And, you know, many times God gives us awesome, you know, just promises through his word and things that he's going to do in our lives. I love it that God gives us what he's going to do in us. And we get excited about that. Because if God would have given us the method of what he wants, then we would like be like, I don't think this one's for me. Jesus, just get somebody else, please. But luckily, it doesn't work like that. So this morning, I want to share with you just some things that God has done the last while in my heart. And I want to speak to you about this, the word that just came to that lovely story. At the end, we must worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Okay, so that's the one that we know. Obviously, most of us know it. But in that place, I want to challenge our thinking a little bit this morning. I want to challenge our thinking about, you know, that thing about spirit and truth. Because the invisible characters of Acts, and we're going to go into that in a while. The last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years or so, maybe a little bit longer, there's a lot of talk in church especially, or from outside of church, that says we need to go back to the ex-church. So, that's fine. You know, I don't have an issue with that. But when you articulate that, when you say that, what do you mean? Because it's one of those great things to just, get back to the ex-church. For some people, it means they want to get away from structure. Structured church. That is the one reason that some people say we need to get back to the ex-church. And for some of you, you know, I want to ask those people, okay, then where does the ex-church stop? Is it Acts 6, 7, 8? Because as you go through Acts, you see later on, structure was added to the church. I mean, if you get 3,000 people in a day, that's some holy chaos going on there. And you need to structure it, otherwise you're going to die as a pastor. You ask me, I have a couple of people under me, and it's taxing to work with people. You know, when people ask me, what do I do? You know, random people. If you want to shut down when people speak to you, say you're a pastor. There's one guy, at least he was honest. I said, I'm a pastor. He says, who? And now, translate for the English people. He said, okay, now I must put on my Levi's squinkies. He must put on his Jesus shoes because I'm a pastor. So these days, I just say, I'm into human resource management. Because that's what you do. You are constantly busy with people. Anyway, for other people, going back to the ex-church means going back to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and operating in the Spirit and being in that place of miracles and signs and wonders. Okay? So it doesn't matter that you say that we must get back to the ex-church. You must just be clear in your head and in your heart. What do you mean when you say that? Don't say it because it sounds cool. Many things sound cool, but you need to figure your way out through that, okay? Now, when we look at Acts, so I'm gonna speak about Acts, obviously, from what you can see there. We get here in Acts 1 verse 8. It says, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Right? So at the start of Acts, that's what happens. And that's why most people know that Acts is about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was poured out in that. So just a side note that I've learned, and thank you for the wonderful slide you made about me in Facebook. I was reading it like, who's this man? Oh yes, it's me. But one thing that I was scared of, because I studied in Stellenbosch, I didn't study theology at first. I studied there, and one thing that I was afraid of, I didn't want to study the Bible. You know, like study like those people do, because most of my friends come back from the quick school and then they're confused. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe in God anymore. You know, they're just like, no. I don't want any of that. So I just follow Jesus and I read his word. That's fine with me. And then God kind of, you know, he tricks me into a lot of stuff, I think. Is this one mine? Thank you. So he tricks me sometimes into a lot of things. I was I started my ministry, or my being a pastor there with Ross in Shofar, Durbanville. And when he appointed me, he asked me a couple of questions. He says, do you want to go on holiday with us? Yes, let's do it. So we went to Mauritius. Then he said, no, I'm studying this thing. Do you want to study with me? I said, yes, let's study. So that's, and then, you know, God did a lot of wonderful things, because it took me, the Val, from the Karoo in the R. It took me 5 years to finish my 3-year degree. But I did finish it. And then I went to Sanlam and I studied there, and then I did a postgraduate thing that you do there at Sanlam. And then I had an honors because I did that thing. And the prerequisite for you to do this thing that Ross has got me to study was that you needed an honors degree equivalent. Then you can do the master's in theology. And I was like, hallelujah, Jesus. I've got all these things. And then I went and I studied theology. You know what? It changed my life completely. It was awesome. Don't be stupid, you know. Don't go to people that don't believe the Bible. But go to theology places where those people, they follow Jesus and there's fruit in their lives. Oh, it was amazing. So when we started about the Holy Spirit. And this is just a prelude to my sermon. But it says there in Acts 1:8, it says, but what will you receive when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? Power. To do what? To be my witnesses. And especially us as charismatics, you know, and that we tend to judge regarding the Holy Spirit in other churches because of what we think. I was like that too. Yeah, if you cannot do this, you know, no, you're not full of the Holy Spirit. If you cannot do this, no, you're not. Now I'm like, when you received the Holy Spirit, was there power evident in your life regardless? Can other people see that there's power in your life through the Holy Spirit? Power to change, power to preach the gospel, power to prophesy, power to do whatever. That is the common denominator of the Holy Spirit. If you have got power manifesting through your life, then the Holy Spirit is working in you. So God came and he rebuked me and said, Deval, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit brings power to be a witness. And how that looks, that is amazing in what God does. Because we see miracles right through the book of Acts. Acts 5 verse 12 to 16 says, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together at Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. You know, these were scary people. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats. And as Peter came, by at least his shadow might fall on them. And the people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Yes, let's get back to the church of Acts. Please! For that! Imagine, like Ray Bevan always says, you know, if stuff like that should happen today, we would have shadow ministries. Come. Our church have got shadow ministries. You all lay here and I walk past you, as my shadow goes over you, you will be healed. Shadow ministries. That's how whacked we've become. Because we are chasing the signs and the wonders, we are not chasing the God of that. So, but we need to do that, okay? So it's not an excuse not to do it. Many times we fall into this trap where we go into excuse mode for not doing the things that God has already commanded us to do. Raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons. That is a command. We must do that. So, yes, in Acts, that is what we read. Now, you know, when we read further, Matthew 10, verse 8. Well, that's not further in Acts, but it's Matthew 10, verse 8. It says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. I just said that. You receive without paying, give without pay. Now, this is where I had a revelation when I did Bible School 3 again this year. And Henny helped me with that. Pastor Henny Swart from our Johannesburg congregation. And as he was teaching on this, I was like, hallelujah. And God came and he broke open this whole deal to me. You know, in my studies, one of the things that God has taught me was God holds all things almost, it feels, in creative tension. We like to say the word balance. But balance is an off word. Because my balance is other than, or Johnny's balance is other than Richard's balance. Because my pivotal point of balance is different than yours. So to say something is in balance is, it's a little bit skewed towards your perceptions and your stuff. I like the word creative tension more because God holds everything in creative tension. So there are, that's why you get people that get whacked off on trends, because you go off on this thing and it's true. But the thing that keeps that truth in creative tension is another truth that you also need to explore. And then in that place, there's creative tension because God is a God of grace, yes, but righteousness and judgment are the foundation of God's throne. So you can go off on grace, yes, hallelujah. But you need to balance that out with judgment. In that place of grace and judgment, you've got God's creative tension. You understand? Because we go off on tangents because, yes, we like the grace. We don't like judgment. Jesus spoke about judgment a lot, people. God's creative tension in the things that we do. But it doesn't really apply to my thing this morning, because this creative tension is actually something that works together, and that's what I'm getting at this morning. So, the first thing that happens is the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and they prayed in tongues. And yes, all of us can pray in tongues. That is an awesome gift that the Holy Spirit has given us. Hallelujah. Peter gets up. After all of those things, what was the first thing that Peter does? Now the Holy Spirit, they prayed in other tongues. And what was the first thing? Peter gets up and he preaches the Word of God. He preaches the Word of God powerfully. This same Peter that has just denied Jesus 3 times. A wuss. He didn't want to stand up to a slave girl. A slave girl comes to him and says, yeah, but you're one of him. No, I'm not. That same Peter, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, what did he receive? Power. To do what? To witness. To preach the Word of God. To preach it powerfully. The Holy Spirit transformed that man into a preaching machine. And he preaches from Scripture. He doesn't just go off. He preaches. This Jesus, whom you crucified. And then he goes back and he says a lot of things. This and this. Him. He's the Christ. He's the one that risen. And this is the reason why. And one of the great things, you know, also in my studies that I learned, sometimes we, because our context is different, what is the one thing in the New Testament that was not in the New Testament? Jesus. He was there. The New Testament. But Jesus was written about. In the one thing that the time of the New Testament wasn't there was the New Testament. Okay? Let's just shake some religious boxes here. The Bible that they read were the Old Testament. They were making the New Testament as they were going. And we think, you know, Peter and they're like, wait. I just want to, like, James, I just want to go get my book and read to you from James. No. The one thing that was not in the New Testament was the New Testament for them to read, for them to go and explore. So when we look at what goes on here, we need to know that, you know, when Peter gets up to preach, he preaches from the Old Testament. Using the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit to show that Christ is Lord. And that's the same thing that Paul did. He went to the synagogues and everything, and then he reasoned with them from the scriptures. What scriptures? The Old Testament. And he showed them that Jesus was Christ. I'm getting psyched up today. So Matthew 10, I read you that thing that says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and you were that you received without pay and give without pay. This, the verse before that says, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then heal the sick, raise the dead. So yes, the creative tension is not pulling apart, but there's a thing that I want you to see. The hidden characters in Acts is the Holy Spirit and the Word. It's like the Holy Spirit and the Word are characters in Acts that we don't see, but we know they're there, and they are pulling together. Like you see in the scripture, in Matthew. The kingdom of heaven said, go and proclaim, preach. In other words, preach the Word. And then heal the sick, the Spirit and the Word. So let's look at Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Spirit. And then the next thing that happens, and they continued to speak the Word of God with boldness. The Word and the Spirit together. So, as we start to look closer to this interaction between the Word, you know, God started to break open some things to me, what we find in church today. People are either running off on the one tangent or the other. It's either word, and you perceive those people as legalistic. They're not wrong, but you perceive them as legalistic. Or then you get the other group who says, spirit, and you perceive them as whacked sometimes. Off there on a tangent, you know, you can't even get close to them. They're not wrong. They're just a little bit off to a side which is supposed to be going together. The Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. So, you know, certain scholars actually go as far as to say that the Word is the main character of Acts, not the Spirit. The Word is actually, according to some scholars, more of a main character than the Spirit of God. But I like it when they are both together. So, I'll go for the other one where I say, okay, great, I hear what you guys are saying, but I think both of them are equally important as characters in Acts. You didn't even know that the Word and the Spirit were characters in Acts, but I'm teaching you this morning, okay? So I'm just saying, listen, look at the Word. It's amazing. Acts 6, verse 7. And let me show you why I say that they are treated as characters. Here are some verses on how we can see that. Acts 6 says, verse 7, and the Word of God continued to increase. It's kind of like it's got a life of its own. The Word of God continued to increase. A And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Acts 12, verse 24. But the word of God increased and multiplied. The word is having children, multiplied. Like a character. The word increased and multiplied. Acts 19, verse 20, it says, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Like the word of God is this warrior fighting. In Acts, it increased and it prevailed mightily. So that's why I say this morning, when we look at Acts and we think about the Holy Spirit, which is in Acts, we must also see that the word of God was just as prominent a feature in Acts as the Spirit of God. But the one thing that I want you guys to take away from here is that never did you see any place where the Spirit or the Word operated separately from one another. Herbert Arrowsmith said, it is still true, he was now later, it is still true that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make a child of God. The Spirit of God still today uses the Word of God to make a child of God. You cannot be born again if you do not have the Spirit and the Word working in you. How that works, you know, I'll show you now some scriptures. It might be, you know, that the Spirit does the work in you, or the Word does the work in you, but both of them go together. Both of them go together. Here are the scriptures. 1 Peter 1 verse 23 says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Okay, so you get born again, as Peter says, by the living and abiding word of God. John 3, 5, and Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the what? And the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So, Peter says, you get born again by the Word of God. Jesus says you get born again by the Spirit of God. It's not something that is supposed to go separate from one another. The Word and the Spirit are one. Different, but they're one. And we want to pull them apart. You know, we want to put the Word there and we want to put the Spirit there. And then, depending on where your heart is at, if you are more of a teacher, then you like to go to the Word. If you're more prophetically inclined, you like to go to the Spirit. Which is not wrong, but you need to get yourself into creative tension, where if you want to go off on a tangent with the Lord in the Spirit, hallelujah, but be anchored in creative tension in the Word of the Lord. When you go off on a tangent on how the Word is expository preaching and broken open, hallelujah for that, we need it. But be in creative tension in the Spirit of the Lord. Operate in the Spirit. Don't just go into the word. Both of them together. So if you want to grow as Christians, we need both of those components, you know. And it's wonderful to be a pastor. And I want to encourage you guys to get people that are either on their way to being saved or just saved into your life. No matter how mature you are as a Christian. It is the most amazing experience to walk the road with a young Christian. To get that joy, that this is amazing stuff, man. Stuff that we have forgotten as all the mature Christians. Oh yes, that is actually amazing. God also showed that to me long ago. And I forgot about it. But it is awesome. So I had a guy in my office, which as 2 weeks ago, just given his life to the Lord, and I'm walking a road with him. So he asked me a question. And it's great when young believers ask you a question. I'm also always, and please guys, when they ask you a question, don't give them the answer. The power of teaching is having them find it out for themselves. That is how you learn. The most stupid thing you can do is to say, oh, yeah, that's fine. This is the answer. Okay, thank you. Will that person remember it? No. But if they experience the process of finding out and seeing, oh, they will know, they will remember. So this guy asked me, if Jesus were to walk into this room now, you know, what would he say to me? And he said a couple of things, you know, his business is going to be this, or you know, worldly head things. And I'm like, oh, hallelujah. Let's ask him. Because the word says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am, Jesus. And you and I, we are two. So according to the word, Jesus is here, man. And then we went over to the Spirit. Listen, while we're going to pray, and then we ask Jesus this question. Jesus heard your question anyway. Then you listen to what he says to you, the Spirit now. And I give him a couple of, and then he says the most amazing thing. Was there a thought that came to your head? Was it a picture? What happened? What did you see? And he kind of smiles and he's shy. He said, no, you tell me. And he says these words. He says, hear these words. Read my words, for they are your compass. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And then, from the Spirit, I take him back to the Word. I said, look at this. Psalm 119, verse 105. Okay, search. I'm not that smart. I searched it on Google. So I was Googling because I knew what I wanted to say. You don't need to know where every verse in the Bible is, people. Please. The verses and stuff in the Bible only came later into the Bible. It was just a thing that was written. You know, so many times, you know, when I speak to demons also, I say, the word says this and this and this. Get out in Jesus' name. Sometimes we okay, I cannot say this because I don't know what the verse and the chapter is. Don't be silly. So I searched it and I said, listen, look here. Psalm 119, verse 105. And it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then I could show him. Mr. Only a couple of weeks saved. You hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what that does to a young? Do you know what that did to me as an old Christian? I'm like, Jesus, you are awesome. I love you. So let me just show you these components in Scripture, and then I'll finish. I don't know how much time I've got, but I'm just going for it. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 4 to 7 says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Again, Paul writing, the Thessalonians says, word, power. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word which you heard from us, you accepted it in the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, the believers. And then I'm ending off with this scripture in Ephesians. And most of us know it, but I want to show you, especially in the time that we are at. Guys, we are, as South Africa, at a pivotal point. Again, God has graciously been with us always. And we are here again. And we will come through it again. And we will be a light to this world again because of the word and the Spirit of the Lord operating in this nation. It might be tough, but if the church of God rises up and stands up and repents, 2 Corinthians 7:14, God will change it around for His glory's sake, not for ours. But anyway, so we need to learn to fight in the Spirit and the truth. Spirit, Word. In this time, as we pray, as we speak, speak the Word of God, you know, pray in the Spirit. All of those things. Ephesians 6:10, you know it, but I'm reading it again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Remember that. Whenever you are drawn to attack a person or a person group, you are not biblically right. You might feel I want to kill Richard, man. Because what he did to me or to my parents or to whatever. Our bitterness and our hurt and our anger makes us want to take it out on someone. And that is what Satan wants to do. If he can get us to turn on each other, he's won. But if we take that anger and all of those things, we bring it to the Lord, repent for the things that we do wrong, but then we take that holy anger and we project it into the spiritual realm and we speak the Word of God there. Oh, it's got a lot of power. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes to your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and this is where I want to get to. All of these things that I've read now, those are the defensive armor. Breastplate, girdle of truth, helmet of salvation, all of those things. Defensive. We have one offensive weapon going on the attack with, and here it comes. But I want to see how Paul writes it. He says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. That is how you go. You go in the Word and in the Spirit because they are one. You fight with the Word and the Spirit because they are one. They are powerful. When they work together, amazing things happen. In your life, in my life, in the world around us, because we understand that that is the offensive thing that we've got. They don't work apart. So if you've got something in your heart that you just hate those Bible teacher people, because they come to me with a lot of things that just binds me. You know, they bind my propheticness. Or if you're on the other side where you are like in the Word and you look at those and say, just keep those hooligans away from me. They have got no basis on what they are doing, these things. Where have they seen in the Word the stuff that they are doing? Come on. We need to come together. Creative tension lies here. The Word and the Spirit. That is where God wants us. He wants you to be grounded in the Word as a prophetic, awesome person. He wants you to be elevated through the Spirit as a wonderful expository Bible preacher, teacher. Because in that place of being in the Word and in the Spirit, we are effective as God wants us to be. We are lying in that place of creative tension where you cannot get comfortable in what you are doing. Because that's where God wants you. That's where Satan wants you. He wants you to become comfortable in what you are doing so that he can put a religious spirit on you. And you can be as religious as a massively prophetic whatever. You are operating through a religious spirit because you are comfortable in what you are doing. And you've got all your lists out actually. Some of us, to get there. God wants us to be grounded in His Word, but elevated through His Spirit as we go into this world. As you take your life, as you take your life to God. God, I need your Word, I need your Spirit. God, those people there, they need your Word, they need your Spirit. So we can't keep on dissing one another for whatever our gifting is. We need to get to that place where God can come and say, look at this, creative tension, and I can do mighty things through them. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you that we can come as your children. And God, thank you for your Word that is powerful, God. Thank you for your Word that changes us, Lord. And Father, thank you that we can just be ourselves, Lord. That even me, just of all being me, God, in that place where I've got your Word and I've got your Spirit, God, I can be powerful in your hand. And Father, thank you that each and every one of us here, you've created us individually, Lord God. You've created us beautifully. And God, you've given us strength and weaknesses which are perfect in your hand. So Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would bring all of our stuff to you, God. Whatever we think we are gifted in, God, whatever we think we are not as gifted in. But God, lay it down at your feet, Lord, that through your Word and through your Spirit, God, you can take us, elevate us, Lord, and help us to speak accurately. Speak your Word into situations, Lord God. Through your Spirit, God, hear what we must do. Father, I pray, Lord, that every heart here and every mind here will just come to that place of submission to your Word and to your Spirit, because they are one. And that we, having put on our armor, God, can fight effectively. So God, I pray, Lord God, for every heart, Lord God, and every mind that has been divided on this issue. And I pray healing now over it in Jesus' name. For those just operating in the Spirit, Lord, thank you that you heal them now, Lord God, by bringing them back to your Word, Lord. Binding them as such, Lord God, to your Word. Not to people, but to your Word. And God, those people that are in your Word, Lord God, and it's such an amazing blessing, God, but they're afraid, Lord, to go into the Spirit because they think they're going to miss it. Father, I pray, Lord God, that they will come to that place, Lord, where your Spirit can elevate them. And Lord, that they can see your hand, your supernatural, miracle-working hand through their lives as they bring your Word, God, with the power of your Spirit. So, Father, I honor you for every person here. And as we stand together, I'm just going to do one simple altar call. For those of you who don't know Jesus, please come to the first place that you start. You need to know Christ. I want to pray with you. You can come to me directly or to Richard if you do not know Christ. But then, if God has spoken to you and you have been either on one side or on the other according to this issue, which is not wrong, but you just need to come back to that place of creative tension, then we want to pray with you. Especially if you had judgment towards other believers because they operate differently than you and you think they are wrong and they might think that you are wrong, just come and bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. So that we can operate in that place of being effective in the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deval, for that word.